This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. A Palestinian Authority official tells our U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, to shut up.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. So I want to give you a little bit of a Middle East update because I think it's relevant to everything that's going on. We have an email that's out today that talks about that. Remember that funding that went from the State Department to One Voice organization, which was basically running a campaign against Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, for during an election cycle. Well, that group was headed up by Mahmoud Abbas's son. And we found that out through our FOIA request, and we ended up going to court and getting documents on that. So I say, you know, you got to really go through these documents on a very thorough basis. But there we found it. And this was, of course, a big development. Well, now we have something else, and this tells you the nature of what's going on. Senior Palestinian official Saeb Erekat on Saturday accused the current president, President Trump's administration, of trying to, quote, depose the Palestinian leadership in a coup, and told the U.S. envoy to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, that she should, quote, shut up, end quote, with her criticism of Mahmoud Abbas. This comes at the same time, Jordan, that the Egyptians are working closer than they ever have had with the Israelis, including this weekend, allowing airstrikes in Egyptian territory to knock out ISIS cell groups.
That's right. So you're seeing this further isolation that the U.S. government is being successful at, even at the United Nations. And in the Middle East, of isolating the Palestinian leadership, specifically inside the West Bank. You've got the Hamas terror group. They're fairly isolated from most of the Middle Eastern countries. For the most part, especially right now with the current Egyptian government, they get isolated. No one's considering them any kind of partner for peace negotiations ever. But what we're seeing now is we're drawing out the real Palestinian rhetoric. We saw it with Mahmoud Abbas. His statement is about, you know, the peace is dead. The Oslo's Accords are dead, calling for the Day of Rage. Not much going on there. And then, again, this response, Nikki Haley responds to that by saying, you know, this is not the – there's been all these other leaders in the Middle East willing to make peace with Israel. King Hussein in Jordan, Sadat in Egypt. Obviously, this man, Mahmoud Abbas, is not one of them. If he became one of them, we'd be happy to work with him. But that, again, was too far. So they go to the personal attacks on our – ambassador. But to me, this is a good sign because we're finally starting, the world gets to see what these guys are really like.
We've also put in a plan, the ACLJ, we developed a plan, you may remember this last year, we developed a plan on how to deal with the Palestinian Authority, and the president's been very direct that he's going to cut off funding and has frozen funding already. So you've got, remember the Day of Rage that was going to take place when the president recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? Well, nothing really happened. Why? Because most of the Arab street, if you want to call it that, understands the vital interest that Israel plays in those countries' own stability. And what do these people want? I mean, Palestinians, like every other human being, want food, shelter, education for their children, and health care. And what they know is that from Mahmoud Abbas and his predecessor, Yasser Arafat, they're getting none of that. So now you've got this unique coalition with Israel, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. And who would have thought that would have happened? Because the greater threat is Iran. So we're taking your phone calls, and how do you? What did you think? I'd like to get everybody's reaction, because a lot of this stems from the Jerusalem recognition. If you'd give us a call at 1-800-684-3110, we'll take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. This is, I think, a vitally important topic. But again, they're telling Nikki Haley, Palestinian officials telling Nikki Haley to shut up. I mean, you're talking about inappropriate, not diplomatic. Yeah, that's not very diplomatic. All right, we'll take calls and comments when we get back.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in online. We're broadcasting live video and audio on social media. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter at JaySekulow, and video feed also at ACLJ.org.
We've got a great email out today talking about this level of corruption with the attempt to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu's election, spearheaded by Mahmoud Abbas's son, getting funds from the United States government. That means your money. We'll take these calls and questions when we come back at 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back, folks. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. You heard about John Kerry, former Secretary of State, telling Mahmoud Abbas to not negotiate so quickly with the United States or with the Israelis, because when there'll be a change in the election in 3 years, they'll get a better deal, basically, out of a Democratic administration. Talk about raising legal issues. There's one that might. Here's the lawsuit that we filed in federal court based on our concern that the State Department was funding anti-Benjamin Netanyahu political activity, which we found out they did. And in that regard, what they did was they gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to set up a media base to start their platforms to run against. It's called One Voice, and One Voice's senior advisor was Mahmoud Abbas's son. So what's happening is the Arab world is not coalescing around the Palestinian cause right now, because everybody else wants a recognized, not only peace, but they want stability in the region, and Israel plays a major portion of that. Andy Economo is the senior counsel for the ACLJ. He's been heavily involved in our work in the Middle East. And Andy, during the break, we were talking about this issue where you got to think nine-dimensionally in all of this. It's not a one-dimensional review.
That's right, Jay. When you're dealing with the Middle East, you're dealing with such a multiplicity of problems that were left over, not only by ancient civilizations, but by the breakup of the Ottoman Empire following the end of World War I, where you have different alliances, different nations that were formed, different requirements that were carried over from the Ottoman Empire. One of those, you know, was the election of the Greek Patriarch of Jerusalem, which requires the approval of the Palestinian Authority, Israel, and Jordan. We were involved.
Try that in an hour or two.
And that's not anything that you can do in an hour or two.
We know.
You can't do it in a day or two or a month or two. It's a multiplicity of issues that are involved, and so many dimensions to this that have to be considered before you come out with a solution. And even then, when you come out with a solution, it's fragile and doesn't always last very long.
But then, Jordan, Mahmoud Abbas, that's one thing. You give money to the son. Then you got John Kerry.
Yeah.
And he makes the statement about, you know, hang on, don't negotiate, because a new administration in 3 years will come in and maybe that changes things.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, how many times are the Palestinians going to listen to that? I mean, the Palestinian people, those bad strategy, listening to the former U.S. leaders telling you to wait, wait again, keep waiting. So I think that, again, for Palestinians, that's the really horrible advice. The good advice is, here, we're going to be straightforward with you. We're going to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. We're not going to play your game anymore. You want to come to the negotiating table? It's open. You know what territory could be available to you to have your own state. We're being open. We're being honest. We're not playing games. What John Kerry is doing is actually demeaning to the people, as if they can't negotiate with the active and current U.S. government, who is telling them like it is. It's just being straightforward and honest with them.
Okay, so here's what you've got. during a conversation that John Kerry had with this individual, Mahmoud Abbas's close associate, Hussein Agha. He said during the conversation, according to the reports, Kerry asked the individual to convey a message to Abbas and asked him to, quote, hold on and be strong. Tell him that, quote, he should stay strong in his spirit and play for time, that he did not break and we will not yield to President Trump's demands. That's what he wanted him to say. According to Kerry, Trump will not remain in office for a long time. It was reported that Kerry said that within a year there was a good chance that Trump would not be in the White House. What's your reaction to that, folks? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Ken, who's calling in California online, too. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken.
Yes, I was just wondering if the U.S. taxpayer funds sent to a bot election campaign.
Hey, sorry, Ken, your connection is just breaking up pretty bad. But he asked,
I heard it.
I did. Okay, well, it was pretty rough on the air. I'm going to restate what he said just in the comments. He said, do the funds sent to the Abbas election campaign violate any U.S. law?
Well, there's a question of whether it violates any U.S. law, but I will tell you, and we're looking at that, but let me tell you what it was. Your taxpayer dollars. So it violates policy and practice of the United States government, but this was taxpayer funds used to do this.
Yeah, this was not like a covert operation that we used to see like in the 1980s of, you know, CIA trying to go into Latin America to overthrow communist governments and funding. This was done through State Department funding. It was ultimately brought out through FOIA requests. You wouldn't do that with the intelligence community. So this was, again, this was not a secret effort. That's why I tell you, when you work with the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., the run-of-the-mill folks of the State Department, they rubber stamp these programs knowing good well. Even when they are told by the groups their future plans, our future plans are to take this grassroots network this year and turn it into a political action network next year. And what the State Department says, okay, great. We can't give you the money next year because that would get us into real problems.
That's where the issue
was. So we'll give you the money this year because you're not actually engaging in the political activity yet. So we're building the organization for you, and then you can utilize it how you've told us you will. So no secret there, no surprises there to our U.S. government. And that didn't prevent them from sending over the grant.
And that's the problem. So, Andy, when you look at it, what they were doing is trying to basically skirt around the law.
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was to subvert the intent of the law by doing what they were doing. And the use of taxpayer money, I think, is abhorrent. The idea that we are going to fund an anti-Netanyahu campaign by giving money to the Palestinian Authority in order to undermine his reelection, I mean, it's a scurrilous thing to do. And we ought to be ashamed to have done it. And this is part of the corrupted administration that preceded the current one that I think is awful.
All right, so let's do this. I want to know how important it is to our audience that the president recognized Jerusalem as the capital, and now you're getting this political pushback from John Kerry. What do you think should be done on this? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Listen to what Mahmoud Abbas had to say about the United States.
The political negotiations should be under international mediation and not solely American mediation. Should I make it clear, we do not accept America as a mediator between us and Israel.
Yeah, which is interesting that he said that, because the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, said, guess what? There'll be no peace discussions without the United States. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, so that's what you're seeing is from the Arab world, who has the most at stake here, who borders also the Palestinian territories, like Israel, who's had to deal with Palestinian uprisings in their own country, dealt with assassinated leaders because of Palestinians in their own country. So that when you hear from Jordan, directly conflicting with what Mahmoud Abbas and his ambassador said to the UN, that the U.S. cannot be a partner, that they've got to find new partners to peace, you're hearing from the other potential partners, one of the main ones, the king of Jordan, that this can't happen without the United States. So you're living in a fairy tale land, Palestinian leaders. Once again, if you think you can make peace with Israel without the U.S. being involved. And again, so they are getting straight talk, maybe for the first time ever, because they've been, you know, with such soft hands. You'd think, like, again, the way that they have been treated is you've made this refugee class of people, and no one has given them straight talk. And now the world is finally coming around to. And I think that's because we've seen a rise in extremism that makes their extremism look pretty
Same.
Mild.
Yeah. Logan, any comments? Because I want to play in a moment Nikki Haley's comment, but let's...
Yeah, people are saying that Jason telling her to shut up is telling America to shut up.
Yep.
Don said, do you think their views on women is why maybe the comment was made?
Could be. I mean, so I think they think they can disparage women. There's that's no question about that. I think those are great comments. Here's what Nikki Haley said, though. Take a listen.
I ask here today, where is the Palestinian King Hussein? Where is the Palestinian, Anwar Sadat? If President Abbas demonstrates he can be that type of leader, we would welcome it. His recent actions demonstrate the total opposite.
So, Andy, when you look at it from a political perspective, and as we have a lot of experience in negotiating in the region, I mean, after all, it was the ACLJ did the case at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on asserting Israel's interests at the ICC when there was these claims of war crimes, which we won because there weren't war crimes. But again, it's this utilization of these methods to basically delegitimize the state of Israel's existence. But now you've got the Arab world basically taking the sides of the Israelis and the Palestinians, and not the Palestinian people, by the way, but the Palestinian leadership, right, desperate for attention. So they tell our U.S. ambassador, basically, not basically, they said, tell her to shut up.
I mean, I can't imagine that the Palestinian Authority would have the audacity to tell the United States, and through the ambassador, you're telling the entire United States government, shut up, which is an outrageous and very undiplomatic, to be very charitable, thing to say when you're talking to the ambassador to the United Nations of the United States. But it also indicates, as you say, Jay, that the coalescing of the Arab people, Arab nations, are really around trying to work something out with Israel is something that the Palestinians are out of step with.
Well, let me talk about this. Will Haynes, our producer, just pointed this out. And I think this is important. Again, we want your comments on this on 800-684-3110. Remember, wasn't that long ago that the Palestinian officials did make the nasty comment about Nikki Haley in the wake of the Jerusalem declaration when they said, quote, our reaction will be worse, but not with high heels.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they're doing.
Yeah, so it's again.
How do you feel about that, folks, by the way, at 800-684-3110, making fun of the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who happens to be a woman?
These actions have pushed into light who these Palestinian leaders actually are. They are the thugs. They're former terrorists. They talk like them. They sound like them. They don't sound like the nice little diplomats that they used to sound like when they actually get pushed. So because this administration has done what the U.S. said it will do for many decades and done it openly, honestly, very clearly, we're starting to see that these former supposedly reformed terrorists aren't so reformed. They just don't have the backing of the people so much anymore. I mean, that's why this day of rage, remember that all followed that, ours are not going to be like in heels. And it was like a day of nothing. And it shows, I think, the weakness of their leadership.
I think it was our David Benjamin, who runs our office in Israel, said there are more protests over the increase in the price of cottage cheese than there was in Jerusalem being recognized as the capital of Israel. All right, phone lines are jammed. We'll take more calls when we come back at 800-684-3110. By the way, John Kerry also told this individual he's giving serious thought to running for president in 2020. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up, at aclj.org.
Hey, for those of you that were not on Facebook and Periscope, you missed our version of the Cream Tune Crossroads, which was quite appropriate for the nature of what we've got. Secret alliance. Israel carries out airstrikes in Egypt with Cairo's okay. Wes Smith, one of our senior military analysts. It's a different world right now in the Middle East, would you say? And you've served in the Middle East.
Yeah, it really is. Common enemies like ISIS and Iran and radical Islam are moving many of the Arab states more and more in alignment with Israel. They are more concerned about their security and their future, and so they are willing to secretly align themselves with the Israelis, sometimes publicly, moderately. Yep. Most of the time, they vilify Israel in public while they secretly support the aims of the Israeli government, which, Jay, is a new phenomenon.
Yeah. No, this is a brand new world, and we're just trying to point out what it means. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan. We've got a bunch coming in.
Let's go to Victor in Staten Island, New York, on line three. You're on the air, Victor.
Victor, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey. Hi, Jay. Hi, guys.
Good.
Jay, I just wanted to say this real quick. John Kerry,
yep.
He's part of the shadow government, Jay, the old Obama holdover illegal government. They're going to try anything in the world that they could do to try to take down this administration. And finally, my last point, Jay, is that I hope he runs for president. And one last, because
he is going to run for president. So here's what he did. He travels to London, meets with an associate of Mahmoud Abbas's, tells him, don't worry, hang on, this guy that's president won't be around in a year. You get a better deal if somebody else is there. And hey, don't worry, I'm going to run in 2020 for president, or at least that's what the reports are. So, I mean, the problem is, the rest of the Arab world is not where John Kerry is, right, and not where the Palestinian Authority is, Jordan.
No. And, I mean, politically speaking, I mean, John Kerry, I worked on a campaign where he ran under much more favorable conditions and he was beat pretty handedly, to say the least, whether it was the flip-flopping or the windsurfing. And I think, you know, people probably had enough of that. And at this day and age, it's kind of laughable, except for he's going around undermining the U.S. government. I mean, he was a former Secretary of State here. He's a former U.S. senator. So you can laugh off his political aspirations to be president or run for president again. But at the same time, these leaders still take him seriously. And again, I think Victor's right. It is an attempt by these former officials to undermine the current administration, because it goes against all their narratives that you have to walk with on eggshells dealing with Palestinians. Instead, pull out the truth. Who are you actually dealing with? And it shows they're much tougher. They're meaner than they get put out to be. That's fine. Let's actually deal like honest brokers. If that means they're mean and nasty, well, we can be very direct too. We recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We get to see their reaction. We get to see how they actually respond. And I think that's fairer than this eggshells approach that these past administrations have used in dealing with these people.
Yeah, the Middle Eastern world, and I lived there for a while, whether it's in the streets with the common everyday citizens or the levels of the government, they respect strength. They just do. They always have. They admire strength. They admire candor. And this policy of recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, of being very realistic about the common foe that we face as a civilized world, and many of the Muslim countries are quite civilized, they realize we have a very serious common threat. All of this is coming together, and it's a different geopolitical landscape.
But, Andy, you know, as we've dealt with the landscape, because we're giving you the inside look at this, and the reason this is a hot issue right now is we uncovered this money going from the State Department to this group One Voice, which is actually a senior advisor, is Mahmoud Abbas's son. And they did this the year before an election, because if they did it during the election year, of course, that would have created a whole host of legal problems for the State Department. They wouldn't have been able to do it legally.
So they do it illegally, or they do it covertly,
yeah,
or they do it in some way that we have to file a Freedom of Information Act request and go to federal court in order to get the information that, well, what's the big secret? I mean, if they were given money, why don't they admit it? Why do the State Department stonewall us and have to make us go to federal court to get the information with respect to the fact that they were giving money to undermine the reelection of the Prime Minister of Israel?
I'm
why do
go
we
ahead.
Have to go to court and get an order?
I want a copy of that, the page in the Freedom of Information Act request that where we actually got. I'm holding in my hand the actual lawsuit. So, folks, when you support the work of the ACLJ, we're going to court on these very issues. I mean, we're litigating these issues. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Logan, you want to grab another call?
Sure, let's go to Mary Beth in Maryland online.
Hi, Mary Beth, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, my question is kind of multiple fold. I'm just wondering by what authority John Kerry can go over there, can go abroad to the Middle East and say things like that. Does he still have Secret Service protection? Can that be pulled? Is there anything the president can do to prevent somebody from a previous administration from going over there and undermining the current administration?
No, first of all, my understanding is going over as a private citizen, he has the right to do it. He also has the right to express his views. Now, some will say there's this thing called the Logan Act, and that is, you know, you got one administration that's handling foreign policy and then somebody speaking out against it. But I don't think it applies. I think it's also facially unconstitutional. So that's just my legal view of that. So I don't think there's Logan Act violations. I think the Logan Act, as I said, is unconstitutional. A lot of scholars agree that from first time. So why it's never been applied. But I think, look, John Kerry has the right to go over there and make his decisions. But I will tell you this. It's one hand clapping by itself, because the rest of the Muslim world, or I would say the Arab world in the region, is not in that place at all. It's not that the plight of the Palestinians isn't significant to the Muslim world and to the Arab world in that region, but they know that that can be handled with legitimate governance. And the fact of the matter is, there is not, Wes, legitimate governance. That's really what the fundamental problem here is.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the Arab Spring a few years ago, and then the Iran's proxies are trying to undermine several of the nations in the Middle East. And so they realize that there are more important things at stake than the plight of the Palestinians, that even in the Arab world, the hypocrisy, the duplicity is known. It's not talked about, but they realize there are more important things. And I think the Arab world is growing weary with the facade and the misleading actions and statements of the Palestinians, at least their leadership anyway.
Yeah, I tend to think that that's fundamentally the problem here. The leadership is completely, I want Jordan to comment on this too, completely out of step with the populace.
The leadership of the Palestinian Authority, obviously. There's no doubt about that. This is the old leadership, the old Abbas, who's been there, it seems like, to me forever and ever, is still talking the old line of Yasser Arafat. I mean, these people have not gone away, and their people are not following them anymore, and they're not behind them.
So how significant, Jordan, do you think it was? Because I think it was very significant that there was no day of rage in reality.
I think it's very significant. I mean, that the world didn't go, it didn't catch on fire, that this was not like the Arab Spring. There was not some protests going on, but again, nothing unusual on this issue. So there was nothing outside the norm. It was actually a lackluster for what they built it up to be, which is a dangerous thing. We've seen stronger protests that are more natural than these ones they've tried to plan. With days coming in, I think second to that is just the other idea with John Kerry is that I feel like what's happened is these leaders, they're bringing him in to speak at these conferences and events so that they keep hearing from U.S. leaders or former U.S. leaders, but very recent former U.S. leaders, this what they want to hear.
Yep.
So they're getting what they want to hear. Then they put it out in their media so that their people read, well, see, if we don't deal with this administration for another 3 years and you keep us in power, don't overthrow us because this guy wants to work with us in the future. And it's playing their own people and keeping them suppressed. I mean, that's what is happening in those Palestinian territories.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. Logan is going to let you know how you can get the next half hour of the broadcast.
That's right. If you don't get on your local station, you can find us broadcasting live right now on social media, facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope and Twitter @JSeculo, or at ACLJ.org. Archive later on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store, as well as on the JSeculo Live podcast on iTunes. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. We decided today to take a look at some international news because there's some developing, and that is a secret alliance. Israel carries out airstrikes in Egypt with Cairo's okay. That in and of itself is extremely significant. This is because the area where they're talking about in the Sinai has been a hotbed of terrorism. But you got to understand something. Having the Israelis get the okay from Egypt to engage in the Sinai, Jordan, is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's been, and now we know it's ongoing for 2 years, the use of drones. It was because the Egyptian military was really coming under heavy fire. We were starting to see in Egypt, in this region, a kind of a no man's land and a no-go zone, ISIS start taking territory, taking towns, killing Egyptian soldiers, killing Egyptian police. And finally, it got to the point where, again, this has now been, we know now it's been going on for 2 years, Egypt okayed the use of Israel taking in drones to eradicate this ISIS problem in the region, which their local police and on the ground military did not have the capabilities to do.
But Andy, go ahead, Wes.
Not only drones though; they're using attack helicopters and warplanes that are Israeli. They cover up their markings. They fly out over the water and come in so that they look like they're coming in from the mainland. And this is with Egypt's approval. And they are attacking the ISIS targets in the northern Sinai. Also, the president of Egypt did something that I think is very astute, and that is he declared the northern Sinai a closed region for security reasons, and no journalists, no media are allowed to be there to witness what's going on.
Well, it is a hotbed of terrorism. And I'd say, well, they're going to say one thing, though, on the street, Andy. I mean, the LCC will say one thing kind of condemning Israel, but that we know for a fact now that the relationships have never been stronger, ever in the history of the modern Middle East.
That's an amazing statement.
Even in the biblical Middle East, I would say.
Right, in the biblical Middle East. Well, in the biblical Middle East, the relations were not that great between the Israelites and the Egyptians. We know that. But I'm really surprised today, as you say, publicly, that he's not going to say this, but privately, they have shared enemies. They've got ISIS, they've got Iran, and they've got radical Islam. And when you look at the fighters and the capability of the fighters, the best fighters are the Israelis. And they know that they need to do something to appeal to them in order to come and save them, and they've now done that in the Sinai. This is a wonderful confluence of events, and I think it belies the statements that are being made by the Palestinians.
In the next segment of the broadcast, I'm going to read you some documentation we got in our FOIA case that shows that this group called One Voice, that you gave money to, taxpayers, through the State Department, was actually working for the overthrow of the current the Prime Minister of Israel, that is Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, we've got it in writing, and they briefed the U.S. Embassy about this. So we're going to get into that in the next segment. But we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We mentioned the last segment, John Kerry telling the Palestinians don't negotiate with the Trump administration because there's a new administration coming and he may run for president. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, Joanne's calling in Ohio, line 3. You're on the air, Joanne.
Hey, Joanne, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, it's kind of laughable that John Kerry actually thinks that he could beat Donald Trump, given the fact that Devin Nunes' next memo is supposed to be about the State Department. And I don't really think it's about Hillary Clinton's State Department only.
You may be right on that. We're waiting for that, and we're not covering that today because that information hasn't come out yet. But Jordan knows pretty firsthand about running a campaign against John Kerry.
Yeah, John Kerry, under much more favorable conditions, remember a growing public dislike of the Iraq War, tiring of the Iraq War under the Bush administration. So he takes on President Bush in, a much more favorable climate than I think it would be today. Economically and also just with what the U.S. was dealing with, and it's just beaten very badly, and was not able, did not have the political, just could not put it together. Doesn't mean, you know, he hasn't been effective U.S. senator. Obviously, he rose to the rank of becoming Secretary of State, but I think this political game is sad because the Palestinians, that it's this idea of keeping the people down. In the refugee state for another 3 years. I'll just wait till the next administration and the next administration.
They've been there.
They'll
70
be better
years.
For us. It's like they keep telling the people that it's so that those guys stay in power. Now they're getting older, but they've got their next generation too to keep in power, like the kid who is taking the money from the U.S. government.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. Logan, we can take phone calls and comments when we come back.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. We got a video coming up in the break. Make sure you stay tuned for that. I believe it's Hope of Jerusalem.
Yep.
J. Seculo Band, again, 1-800-684-3110. We're ready for your calls. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal, complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast, everyone, taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So, you know, we filed this big FOIA case and we had to go to federal court. We got the documentation that showed this group, One Voice, who has Mahmoud Abbas's son, Yasser Mahmoud Abbas, as its senior advisor. And then we wanted to know what this, and they got money from the State Department. Well, we then looked at a Senate, our team, Carly Gamble, senior counsel for the ACLJ, looked at some references in some of the Senate documents that were back and forth. And lo and behold, you find out that this group One Voice was briefing this embassy in Israel and Jordan. And one of the goals, it says, is what is the definition of success? And they put it right here. Preventing a right-wing coalition from winning the next election prompted by the coalition collapse. That would be the coalition of Benjamin Netanyahu. That is one of the goals of the organization that got money from the State Department.
Yeah. I mean, so
talking about interfering with some, by the way, talking about interfering with someone else's elections? That's all I'll say on that.
They're not disputing or trying to hide their goals, and they're saying that we're going to discuss this with the U.S. Embassy staff.
So they're going
to discuss this with the U.S. government, and the definition of success, again, preventing a right-wing coalition from winning the next election. So directly getting involved in the politics of Israel. Track two, disrupting the current Israeli government. That was the Netanyahu government. So, again, they're not hiding to the U.S. government what their goal is of their organization. And they're saying our partners, our grantors, are the U.S. embassy. I mean, so understand the Obama administration. We said it was so anti-Israel and ultimately showed its anti-Israel bias at the United Nations in its final days. They were doing this kind of work, funding, again, getting involved in an ally's politics domestically to try and sway it into a partner that would be more favorable to their positions as the U.S. government at that time.
So, Wes, what does this tell you of what was going on in this previous administration? We're uncovering all this stuff, so your support of the ACLJ lets us do it, but what was going on here?
I was just thinking the same thing. When you look at all of the things, with all due respect to the office of the president, this speaks to the corruption and the deviousness of the Obama administration. You look at the unmasking of U.S. citizens. You look at the FBI and the DOJ lying and misleading a FISA court. You look at all the things that went on at the State Department, the pay for play and the Clinton Foundation. You just go down the list, including this latest thing about trying to usurp not only a foreign government, but a foreign government that is our ally. I mean, it speaks to the deviousness and the corruption in the previous administration. You know?
And then you got John Kerry, and he's saying, well, just hang on a little bit longer. We'll be able to do this again.
Yeah, because I'll be there. I'm coming. Yeah. I'm on my way. It's like, didn't someone say to Putin, if you'll just hang on a little bit, I think we can do business?
Yeah, that was President Obama.
That statement.
Tell Vladimir, I don't have another election coming up. Do we have that audio? We should find that.
Well,
there you have it. But it points to a deeper problem here. And the reason that I'm bringing this up today is you're going to see, I think, unfolding in the next weeks, and we wanted to be ahead of this. You're going to see unfolding in the next weeks some serious discussions where the Palestinians are going to be compelled to go to the table, and the Palestinian people themselves want to be at the table because they want a resolution to this, and they no longer trust their leadership. And yet the United States in the previous administration was funding the overthrow or the election overthrow of Benjamin Netanyahu's government. And they actually put memos together, Jordan, saying this is what we're going to do. We have the memos.
Yeah, they have the memos. They say they're going to brief the U.S. government on this. So they were not hiding from the U.S. government. We know exactly what they wanted to do with the organization that they were forming. And so, again, I will say this. I think it needs to be explained. Unlike in the United States, most internationally, including in the Western world, organizations that do exist are not funded by individuals. They're funded by government grants, like maybe one person. So one very wealthy person starts a foundation like in their name, but they don't usually have groups like the ACLJ.
Right.
And that's kind of unique to the United States experience. So they're used to getting these grants from governments. But in this case, they realized that this government would have, the Obama administration, would have no issue with their goal of disrupting the Israeli current government and political process and ultimately bringing it down, so that they were putting that out in documents to them and still getting the money.
So Melody Schwartz on Facebook asks, what does it mean when Kerry says, hold on? Well, it's exactly what it means. Don't negotiate with the current government of the United States as part of the negotiating process, because we're going to come in and he even says he doesn't think this administration will hold on another year, but certainly not the next election, and we're going to give you a bit better deal. So he's discouraging a resolution of the situation. And this comes on, remember what President Obama said to the then Prime Minister of Russia. Remember this. Take a listen.
It's my last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah.
This is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. So, in a sense, Andy, they're starting that line right now.
That's
even
right.
Though the president's only been in office a year and a day, or a year and 2 weeks.
Right. Just hold on, because help's coming.
Yeah.
He tells Putin this, Obama tells Putin this, and Kerry tells the Palestinians this. Now, talk about undermining the government of the United States. Talk about collusion in an election with a foreign country. I mean, we've uncovered that collusion by the Obama administration in the elections in Israel. It is, by their own admission and by their own memoranda. They've colluded in the election.
They were
unsuccessful, but they did.
Yep. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, what are you seeing online?
Jesse said the media seems to have played a huge role on desensitizing America to these real-life scandals.
I think that is true. So, you know, this brings up an interesting point. The reason we're covering this one today is obviously we just got the results from our FOIA cases, and we're trying to show our members when you do these cases and you can get results, which we are, but it's like for every 10 you file, you get one that really has something. This one had a lot of substance, but it also shows the nature of what's going on right now to undercut attempts at a peaceful negotiation process in the Middle East when you've got John Kerry saying one thing while the administration's saying something else.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got, again, John Kerry, who I think is speaking on behalf of a lot of liberals in the former Obama administration, saying don't deal with this government. Don't deal with this U.S. government. Wait. Keep waiting. And I think for the average Palestinian, it's like, how long are you going to keep waiting? And you're going to take this from your leaders. Well, we'll just wait on that next administration. Because Obama was there for 8 years. Did he get this peace deal done? I don't remember any negotiation. Was there a single time they would not sit down under the entire Obama administration? He could not get Israelis and Palestinians to sit down and negotiate. So why would they wait for John Kerry? I mean, that's the truth is. Now, I get why the leaders would put that out to their people, because they don't want to actually deal with the honest brokers who tell them like it is, say, this is what we want. This is what we are going to do. This is what you can have. If not, we don't care. You won't get our money anymore.
Wes, do you think that what's happened here is you've got the, this is what I think it is, you've got the people, the Palestinian people who want real change and they want peace and they want an economy and they want schools and they want health care.
Right.
And then you've got the leadership that's just trying to hold on to the old guard, and now we're just exposing it. Now we're finding out as the ACLJ exactly what was going on here.
Yeah, the victim status of the Palestinian people is job security for the Palestinian leadership. They have a decades-long history of enriching themselves and having Swiss bank accounts and riding around in Mercedes while the people suffer. And the shocking thing, and yet I guess it's really not shocking, is that Kerry and other people in the previous administration buy in to this continuing, you know, cycle of the corrupt Palestinian leadership, the suffering Palestinian people, and they do absolutely nothing to change it. I think now, with the common threats of Iran and ISIS and other things, with President Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, with our threat to cut off funds if they don't quit supporting martyrs, we are probably closer now, Jay, to a real lasting peace with the Palestinians and the Israelis than we've ever been under this really this facade of peace and peace negotiations that's been going on for decades.
The problem, of course, Andy, with all of this is, and we've handled negotiations in these regions, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen, especially when you've got a leadership void, which is, I think, what's existing right now in the Palestinian Authority.
Yes, yes.
Yet we were propping up, the previous administration, propping up this regime. And I think that pulling the mask off on that regime is critical right now.
Well, we have pulled the mask off. The president has said, I'm cutting aid. I'm not doing this anymore. The so-called facade of refugeeism. And I'm stopping doing this. So, you know, when he says that, he's undercutting them, and I hope that the whole regime topples as a consequence of it.
All right, so let me tell you what we're going to do. We're coming into the last segment of the broadcast. We're going to open up the phone lines for any topic you want to talk about, and we'll see what you say, and we'll see if it goes. And Logan doesn't want to do that? No?
I mean, any topic.
Well, not any topic, but topics relevant to what we're dealing with.
Super Bowl, halftime show. We got a lot of stuff we can talk about.
The Eagles had a... They give great game.
It's a good game. It's a good game. The Han Solo trailer.
I don't want to get our stations up and
phone lines open.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Phone lines are open. Then we got about four lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice heard, this is the time to do it. The final time for today. You can get your voice on the air. 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on social media. We'll get to some of those as well.
So we got a piece out today. If you're not getting our emails, you should sign up for those at aclj.org. And it's dealing exactly with John Kerry advising the Palestinian Authority president to, quote, hold on and basically thwart U.S. policy. So this is where you need to be getting informed and staying engaged. And if you get aclj.org and sign up for these email alerts, you're going to do it. And you can also follow us on Twitter. I've got a Twitter feed. Jordan does. Andy doesn't. Logan does. But there you go. All right, and we'll take more calls and comments. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, 800-684-3110. Our whole panel's here. We're going to go right to the phones because calls are coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to them.
All right, let's go to Sandy in Wisconsin on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Sandy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Good.
As a Christian living in Israel from 1970 through 1973, I saw this problem with the Palestinians very, very clearly. And occasionally I would see Yasser Arafat riding in his Mercedes, and the people seem to like him. I feel so sorry for the Palestinians because of their lack of leadership.
Yep.
And they have suffered because of that lack of leadership.
Well, I think that's a generational shift, though, that's what Jordan's following this closely. There seems to be a generational shift. That's why when they had the Day of Rage and the leadership wanted these mass protests throughout the Arab world, nothing happened.
Yeah, that's right. So the people weren't responsive. They were not responsive to the idea of taking to the streets. And I think that that's because it's more about, at this point, food and education and health care and getting by in life because it's gone on way too long. And we're talking about the better area in the West Bank. And then you've got the terrorists in charge of the Gaza Strip. So the idea, again, that we're finally being honest and open brokers in this, and we're not stringing along. Remember, it was the Obama administration that failed to even get them to talk. So why would they, but they take John Kerry's words because these leaders over in the Palestinian territory are no good.
But the truth is, Jordan, we've represented Palestinians.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody could talk about this, but we've represented the Israelis, but we've also represented Palestinians.
Yeah, and most of them, again, are very disappointed with their leadership. They are careful what they say because it's not a safe place to express dissent because they know who their leaders used to be.
Yeah, but
their leaders were terrorists.
Yeah, but again, the American Center for Law and Justice, our affiliates in the Middle East, have represented Palestinians, specifically Palestinian Christian who was murdered by Hamas in broad daylight, was the operator of the Palestinian Bible Society, and was stabbed 43 times because he was a Christian. And we got his family removed from Gaza and into a safe zone. So this is something we speak with great reverence for the people, the Palestinian people who we've had as clients, and also for the plight that they've had, but also understand that the leadership is not, Andy, in sync with where the people are now that do not want to maintain a victim mentality. They want to move on.
They do. And I don't know that they've ever been in sync with them, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I mean,
right.
The reality was that Arafat was elected because during the elections, he would take all his opposition, lock them up, and they couldn't vote. And then when the election was over and he had prevailed, he'd let them out. I heard this from a Greek Orthodox priest in Jerusalem. He was on the scene. He lived there. He knew exactly what they were doing. They haven't changed, and they're not going to change.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Valentina on line three in New York. You're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, you're not on the air.
Hi, Jay. I have a question.
Yep.
I have a question and comments for you from New York.
Yep.
Which is, if the Palestinian government feels so free to speak to an American ambassador so disrespectfully,
yeah,
how do you think they would treat a female American president, especially in times of war?
Well, you know, I don't think look, I don't like the comments they made to Nikki Haley. I thought that was inappropriate. I think it's wrong, and I think it shows a general disregard. If the American people elect, whoever the American people elect, we've got, you know, you don't treat our leaders or our ambassadors the way they did. So I don't think it says, you know, I have no problem with if you had a qualified female candidate and becomes president of the United States, great. I mean, you know, look, the British had Margaret Thatcher. I mean, it was a very strong leader. The Israelis had Golda Meir, who was the Labor Party. So you had in England, you had Margaret Thatcher, conservative. Golda Meir was the Labor Party, which was the much more liberal party. But these were strong leaders. But I think that kind of, I don't even know what the right phrase is, that kind of demeaning approach that they take to dismiss someone they disagree with because of gender, that's a pretty aggressive move. And I'll tell you what it's doing. Nothing to help them in the actual world we live in.
Yeah, let's grab a comment real quick. This is from Kathy. She said, why is our government funding terrorism, it feels like, via the PA? How is this even okay to begin with?
This is the great. No, I think President Trump wants it stopped. And fans in meetings today. I don't know if that's coming up. Where are we with that, Jordan? As far as right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think again that the funding of this has been it's on the table. So the actual cutting off of the funding is on the table, and I think that we could see that from this is the one administration we could see. So unilaterally, direct funding to the Palestinians is on the table, being cut off by the U.S. government, and then also, of course, we've talked about. Doing it at the international level through the various entities that we fund at the United Nations. Right now, it's been the words, and then putting that into motion would be step two.
I want to play what President Trump said about the funding issue. I think it's important, and the disrespect, and get everybody's comments on this. So the president,
when they disrespected us a week ago by not allowing our great vice president to see them, and we give them hundreds of millions of dollars in aid and support, tremendous numbers that nobody understands. That money is on the table, and that money's not going to them unless they sit down and negotiate peace.
And Wes, that was when they snubbed Vice President Pence.
Right. Yeah, they say they want peace. You know, there's a part of me, Jay, that I doubt that they really want peace because they make
their
fortunes. Yeah, the leadership, they make their fortunes of there not being peace. Once peace were to be established, what would they do?
Yeah, well, they have to come up with a new industry.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that would be the problem because this is basically an industry. All right, Logan, you said you got a couple comments from social media.
Yeah, Helen asked us, we took it a little bit during the break as well, but I think it's important we addressed on the show. They said, where are we on moving the embassy to Jerusalem?
President says that they're going to have it, Jordan, in 18 months.
Yeah, so the end of next year. That's what the
in on time and under budget.
Yeah, so that has been the statement. So it's not just a verbal recognition or on paper recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, but we'll actually have our embassy there, which makes it a very important. It's not just a symbolism anymore; it's actual reality.
But let's also talk about, because I think it's a good point Jordan made. But Andy, let's talk about the symbolism. We know about sacred spaces, and moving that embassy to Jerusalem, the heart of the Jewish state of Israel, is a big move.
Well, symbolism is important in everything. It's important in everything. Symbolic acts, and this is not only a symbolic act, but it's an act of de facto recognition of the reality, as you say, that Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel, the Israeli nation, the nation of Israel, for 3,000 years. And the symbolism of actually having the strongest nation on the planet, having its center of diplomatic contact in Jerusalem, is a very important symbolic act.
All right, Logan, let's grab another comment. You got a lot of them coming in. We got a lot of folks on Facebook, so let's do that.
Yeah, Melody said, this is funny from Melody Schwartz, she said, if they want peace, they sure have a bizarre way of showing it.
Well, she's right about that. I mean, you know, it is, but again, that's the leadership. It's not the individual people. And I think that's what we're, if there's anything we've been able to focus on today, it's been that. Is that we know a lot of Palestinians that want peace. They want education. They want health care for their kids. They want a better life.
Yeah, that's right. And so their leaders, though, will do everything possible that, one, hang on to power and to keep the status quo. Because the status quo is what emboldens them. It's what fills their bank accounts. And again, you get all this aid that comes in but doesn't actually get to the people. Who do you think that's going to? And so, again, the narrative of these leaders who may have once been radical terrorists but ended up becoming into the status quo to protect themselves, their interest, and their money. And they've kept this whole group of people down way too long. And I think to finally get a fresh U.S. government approach that tells it like it is actually something new for these Middle Eastern countries to actually hear.
All right, that's going to do it for today's broadcast. If you want to join us later on, we'll be broadcasting each day this week, and then we even come sometimes more at 1-800-ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow, ACLJ, and follow all of us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.